Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Many of you know that where you're at this morning, the way you walk through those doors, He knows exactly where you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how things have been going. He's coming after you because He wants to place blessing within your life. Blessing's already there. You know, when He died upon that cross and He took care of every single thing for us, it gave us a gift that was the Holy Spirit. But that's the thing, is that the Holy Spirit in your life leads you in places and goes with you through everything that you're going through. It doesn't matter if you're in the lowest times or the hardest moments, the moments that you don't know what you're going to do. It doesn't matter when you took a left, when maybe you should have taken the right. He's been with you the whole time. He doesn't leave you, nor does He ever forsake you. Everything that He's placed within your life, He's given to you and He's done for a reason. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world right now. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life in this moment. He still has blessing upon your life. He still has victory in every area. He still is bringing more. He's still giving you more. Even when we try to run the opposite direction, He's going after us saying, I want you. You're important to me. I want to give you more. I want to place more in your life. I'm running after you, and I just want you to stay and hold in this moment with me. He has blessing. We are blessed. You know, I was telling my dad about a story that's just stuck in my mind so much this week. And I told him that it was about Jacob. And, you know, he's working for Laban, and he's working for his daughter. He loves his daughter. But, you know, there's these things that happen through this whole story. And to kind of, like, shorten it, he starts working for him because, I want to marry your daughter. I love your daughter. And so he tells him, okay, work for me for 10 years, right? It's 10 years. And it says in the Bible that it went by so fast to him because he loved her so much. But then when it comes time for him to marry her and lay with her, he gives the other daughter, he gives the wrong daughter. So Laban really does go against what he said he would do. And he tells him, why did you do that? Why did you trick me? Because I love your younger daughter. And he goes, well, you can't marry the older. I can't marry the younger before I marry the older. That's against tradition. So he tells him, I'll work 10 more years. And I'll work for her. And so he does. He continues to be faithful. He works for him. He does all those things. And over time, he marries her. But there's different things that happen throughout this time that he's working for him. He's faithful through all of it. But Laban continues to kind of change what he promises and what he says he's going to do. And at a certain point, Jacob says, that's it. I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to take my wives, I want to take my kids, and I want to go. Because, you know, you keep changing what you're telling me. And one of the things that stuck with me so much in the story, that Laban knew that he was blessed because Jacob was anointed and he was blessed. And something that just stuck with me and stuck with me, but it's because of the fact that regardless of what we're doing, if we continue to be faithful, if we continue to go after God, pay attention and focus on Him, everything else just kind of falls in place. Because when we're doing His will, man, there's anointing, there's power, there's blessing. So as we come up on Thanksgiving, be blessed. Know that you are blessed. everything you put your hand to, everything you do, when God calls you to do it, it's blessed. It's already anointed. He's already placed a blessing upon you. It doesn't matter when things seem down. It doesn't matter when things seem wrong. It's already there. It's already placed in your life. He's within you. He's already given it to you. You are royalty. You are royalty. You are the sons and the daughters of a king. And there's nothing that can come against that. There's nothing that he can't do on your behalf if you just continue to focus and stay going after him. God, I want more of what you have. I want more of you in my life. I want your word. I want your direction. When we do that in our life, without having to do anything else, the rest just begins to come.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Well, are you guys ready for Turkey Day? Is everybody gonna have a Thanksgiving feast? Yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. I love Thanksgiving. I really do. I love the thankful part. Amen. I just want to say, God, thank you for all that you've done. All that you've done for me, all you've done for my family, all you've done for my church family. I want to thank you, Lord, because he has been. How many of you know he's been faithful? He's been faithful every day of my life. And praise God. Thank you, Lord. From days in the mine, right? Isn't that right, Lloyd? From days in the mine, God has been faithful to watch over me. From the day that we started this, God started this with us. I mean, he's been faithful, faithful, faithful. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So are you thankful? Amen. How many of you are thankful this morning? Amen. You know, some of us have gone through some stuff. Amen. 2020 has been kind of a weird year. Isn't that right? Weird year. Hallelujah. We've gone through some stuff. Is that right? Hallelujah. But can I tell you, God's always faithful. Amen. He's always talking with us. He's always desiring to lead us and guide us and show us things we've never seen before. I thank God for that. I thank God for my children and my grandchildren. I thank God for all of you, those of you that help in the house of God, those of you that are constantly desiring to do something for the Lord. And I just thank God for all of you and all of those that attend our church, that will sit and listen to a message from a crazy one-eyed guy. Hallelujah. Some of you are looking, you got one eye? Yeah, I do. Yeah, you got one. I got two, but one's not so hot. Amen? Pray for me that God healed my eye. Praise God. I feel like Paul the Apostle. You got to ask God three times, and he said, hey, my grace is sufficient for you, boy. Leave it alone, leave it alone. Hallelujah. Thankful. Thankful we had 24 turkeys we took down to Nogales Mission last Sunday. So I want to thank you guys. That was awesome. I mean, and some of those turkeys were big boys. I mean, they were huge. One of the ladies down there, the pastor's wife down there, she pulled one out of the truck. She goes, I can't get it in the basket. It was hanging. I thought she was going to drop it. But yeah, 24 turkeys, and they want to come and tell you how thanks. Personally, is that okay with you guys? If they come, they might sing a song for you. Is that okay? Yeah, come on. Yeah, you're going to be nice to them, right? Yeah, come on. You're gonna be nice to them. Yeah, you're nice to me when I sing, so I don't see why you can't be nice to them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, and don't forget about the baby bottles we're filling up for the Family First Pregnancy Center. Those folks need constantly. Kids are coming in, families, you know, constantly they have needs for things for the children. So thank you for that. I think that's going to happen on the 13th? Is that what it said? Abe, where are you? 8/13th? Yeah. Praise God. Thank you for that. Just thankful today. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Praise God. Hallelujah. If you will, let's go to the Bible. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, verse 34. We're going to start there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, those of you who can, come and play football with us. Pastor John's going to lead the quarterbacking team. He's going to be quarterback on one of the teams. Yeah, and come and play. Come and have fun. Wear your tennies. Just sit on the grass, if anything. We just want to invite you to come and have some fun. I know that kids, we wanted to do a fall festival because you know what? Kids can't do hardly anything anymore. How do you know that? There's nothing for them. And so that's why I'm asking you to pray for the property around the building. I'd love to see a park. Amen? How many say amen to that? There's nothing for kids to play in around here. And I was supposed to receive a call on Wednesday from a guy from Park Corporation himself, and never did get that. Figure they're busy. But just be praying that God will. I've already seen the park. I've seen it. Hallelujah. How many know you got to see things in the spirit before you? Do you know that? Sometimes with God, you just got to see it in the spirit before it comes into a reality. And I've seen it. It had a basketball court down on this. There was grass. There was tables. I've seen it. I'm saying, God, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And so I'm believing God. So, hey, remember that. Remember to pray for the park. Remember to pray for Henry. Hallelujah. Because I'm saying some things that that I'm just saying them. Because I believe it. I say what I believe. Is that okay? Do you believe in saying what you believe? Do you believe that? Hallelujah. So, it was weird. When we come into this building, we said, hey, we're going to buy this building. And we bought it. Cash. Paid over $1 million for this building. Paid it cash. Who? What? When I went into the bank, there's a bunch of people lined up. Because I didn't know about it, and they all shook my hand. I go, "What's this? What's this?" And I was asking the name of Josh. I go, "Josh, what's going on? How come everybody's out here shaking my hand?" He goes, "That's what we do with people that have over $1 million in this bank." I said, "What?" And then he said, "Come on in, and I'll tell you about it." And then we found out that brother had left over $1 million to this house, and God is good. Amen. Can I tell you, he knows where you're at, and he knows what you're doing. He knows he's able to provide everything, anything and everything. Do you know that? You just trust him. He'll get it to you if you just trust him. Sometimes it seems like it's not going to make it. Is that right? Sometimes they say, well, God, I guess I got to help you out, God. Is that right? And guess what? Come on, man. You don't need help. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for what God's doing. I'm thankful for the word of God, thankful. Man, I'm thankful for my wife. She dresses me every morning. Hallelujah. She buys my clothes. Oh, come on. I'm just thankful. And it's important that we express our thankfulness. It's important that we express our thankfulness to God, who he is in our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's pray. We're going to read the word of God here and ask God to touch every heart that's in the building. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, as we come to read your word, Father, I ask you, Father God, by your spirit, Lord, that you would minister to each and every heart that's here. And Father God, as this message goes out on the radio waves, I ask, Father, that you would implant this in the places that you want it to go, Father. Touch hearts. Speak to people, Father. Let them hear of your goodness and your love. In Jesus' name, I pray this morning. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Touch somebody next to you and say, are you thankful? Are you thankful? Say, hey, are you thankful? Ask them, are you sure? Come on, man. Come on, man. Sometimes God does things in little tiny ways, doesn't he? That you realize, God, thank you for this. Thank you for this, Lord. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 34, the word of God says this, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Everybody's going, it's one of those sermons. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. I mean, hallelujah. Praise God. These are Jesus' words. And then he says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words." You hear that? "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Chapter 9, verse 1 says this, "And he said to them, Verily, I say to you." Verily means truly. Some places he says, truly, truly. And I was looking at this in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that there be some which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." He's talking to his apostles. Verse 2 says, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment, his clothing, became shining and exceeding white as snow, so that no fuller on earth can white them." Cleaner than clean. Cleaner than Tide. Cleaner than what? I don't know, Mr. Clean. I don't know what are the other ones. Rosie knows them all, but I don't know. Cleaner than all. Clean. "And there appeared unto them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias." This is Elijah. "For he wist not what to say." He didn't know what to say because they were so afraid. They were afraid of what they were seeing. I mean, Jesus all of a sudden became this brightness. And then now they got 2 guys talking to him, and they could tell it was Moses and Elijah. And now they're afraid. He goes, "Hey, let us put up some memorials here for you. Let us put a thing for Moses, one for you, and one for Elijah." Isn't that the way we think? Every time something happens, we got to make a memorial out of it. Is that right? And God says, "Hey, man, check this out." Jesus. "And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore, except Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Jesus is telling them, hey, don't say anything to anybody till after I've been resurrected. And then he says, and they kept that saying within themselves, questioning one with the other what the rising from the dead should mean. Isn't that crazy? You know, at this time, the apostle had no idea about resurrection. Is that right? Didn't think about it. They didn't know. But Jesus had been telling them, look, I'm going to go to the cross in 3 days. I will go to the cross and die, and they'll bury me. In 3 days, I'll be resurrected. And they weren't getting it. How many ever read something in the scriptures you didn't get? Anybody ever done that? Sometimes you look at the word of God and say, what are you saying? What is this? And here we're talking about Jesus being transfigured before them. How many of you are glad that Jesus came? Anybody thankful that Jesus came? Are you glad? Are you glad that he came? John chapter 3, verse 16, you all know what that says, is that right? You see it in football games, is that right? See it in basketball games? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, amen? That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Are you glad about that? Are you thankful that the word of God says that? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what the word of God's Paul is talking. And he says this, "For I delivered unto you, first of all that which I also received." You know, you have to receive this from God. Amen. Paul was killing Christians. He was going about arresting them and taking them to prison. And sometimes they would kill him. He was torturing folks. And then he got saved. Isn't that crazy? You might think you can't get saved, but I'm going to tell you, you might think you're worse than everybody else, but I'd say you ain't killed anybody yet, unless there's somebody in the house that killed somebody, but I don't know about that. But the fact of the matter is, you're not as bad. You're not that bad. God can save you. Amen? Hallelujah. And he says, "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day," what? "According to what?" "According to the Scriptures." What was he referring to at this time? What was he referring? He was referring to the law and the prophets. That's what they had, according to the Scriptures. Is that okay? They didn't have the King James or the TPT or the New International Version or the Jubilee Bible. They didn't have all that. All they had was the writings that they could, the Torah, things of Moses. Hallelujah. "According to the Scriptures" is what he says. This is what Paul says. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The word of God says, "For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Is that cool? Is that cool? "He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." He didn't know he didn't have any sin. And he says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, not only did he come to die for your sins, but he also came to position you. Is that right? Is that okay? He positioned you by placing his righteousness upon you so that you have clean and clear access to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's what he did. Isn't that good? Are you thankful that he's done that? Boy, I'm thankful. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that I heard the gospel at the time that I heard it. I'm thankful. I could have ignored it. I could have gone on my merry way, which was not so merry. I was drunk almost every weekend. I was not merry. I thought I was living good. And I didn't realize that Jesus had come to die for me. But you know what I found out? That while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. 2,000 years ago, whenever, he said, "I'm going to die for that boy. And one of these days, he's going to be preaching in a house." Hallelujah. That's God. Amen. That's what he does. I had no plan. I had no part of the planning of that thing. How do you know that? All I know is that, man, all of that, one day he grabbed me, shook me off, set me down on a rock, and I've been there ever since. Praise God. I'm thankful, folks. Man, I'm thankful. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. Isaiah 53:5 says, I'm thankful that God says, when I placed him on that cross, when he was whipped to go to the cross by his stripes, you've been here, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that. I like Pastor John says, you cannot separate salvation and healing. You just can't. It is the same. It's all in one. The salvation, the peace that comes with God. There's a peace that comes from God that passes all understanding. Amen? Sometimes you're just in your house and everybody's all fired up and you're coming in. They look at you and they say, how come you're not mad? How come you're not yelling? The peace of God, because of God's peace. Hallelujah. I'm glad he paid for it. I'm glad he paid for my sins. The word of God even says that God was pleased with his sacrifice. Can you believe that? His own son, his only son, that when Jesus went to the cross, God the Father, as much as it hurt, was pleased with what his son was doing because they had a plan. Because he was going to redeem mankind with his own blood. Isn't that cool? That's why God said, this is my beloved son. When they saw his glory, they said, this is my beloved son. I like it because they were looking at his glory. They weren't looking at the Jesus they were used to, the one with his dirty feet and everything else. They weren't looking at that one. They were looking at a transfigured God. Jesus standing there, and God says, that's my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Listen to him. Listen to what he's saying to you. Amen? Praise God. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that he's a provider. Amen? Philippians 4:19 tells you this. These are our basics, our basic scriptures that we hold on to. And I said, are you thankful for these? Here's one. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Are you glad about that? Are you glad that he says he's going to supply all your need? Does it say some? Does it say, I loved it when Chelsea got up here, was it 2 weeks ago? And she said, God provided for me before I even asked for him, he provided it. Isn't that right, Chelsea? Before I even asked, do you know that God knows what you need before you ask? Are you glad about that? Are you thankful? Thank God he knows us. Amen. He's a good God. He's a good God. He will provide your needs. He says, all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. How much riches does he have? Folks, he paves the heavens with gold. So I don't think he's worried about cash flow. You need cash flow, talk to him. Hallelujah. He is a provider. He's a source to you. He is a source. You can go to him, say, God, I got a need. This is what my need is. And watch it and allow him to do what he always does. He'll take you. He'll take care of you. For guidance, I love this scripture, John chapter 16, verses 13 through 14, it says this. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. How many are glad about that? Do you know that God will guide you? Do you understand that? He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you what? Things to come. Amen? He will show you things to come. Immediately, my heart goes to the park. He showed me. I saw it. And he said, I'll show you things to come. Praise God. Because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows things that are coming towards us even before we get. Can I tell you, he's probably deferred a lot of things that are coming towards us. Because I have to tell you something, folks. This world's not happy with us. Do you know that? Do you understand that? They would like us to be quiet. They would like us to, hey, man, hey, keep your Jesus to yourself, okay? Come on, man. He will save you. He will watch over and protect you, watch your kids, take care of your kids. I mean, he's the best deal going. There ain't no other deal like it. There's no other God like God. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. Hallelujah. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it to you. See, Jesus wants to show you things, amen? He wants to bring things to you, allow you to see the things that he has for you. Hallelujah. So are you thankful? Are you thankful? Do you know it's important that you express your thankfulness and say, Lord, I'm thankful that your word says that you watch over me, you care about me. That when I call in times of trouble, you answer me, God. I'm thankful for that, God. It's important that you speak the things that you know. Is that right? Do you know that? We do it all the time. Is that right? Well, I watched the news last night, and this is what they said. You hear? How many are tired of the news now? Oh, golly. I say, man, I get, yeah, all right, whatever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and let's go to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. all this week when we had Bible study on Wednesday, and then we had men's breakfast yesterday. And by the way, I'm going to tell you that Kaylin can cook like, man, I never seen anybody cook like that boy cooks. Come on, man. I tell you what. I mean, what would take John and myself and who else? And I mean, it would take us, we'd get there at 7 and right at 8, we're still cooking bacon. Kaylin had it everything done at 20 minutes after 7. The guys are telling me, hey, he's already done. What? He's done, yeah. At 20 minutes to 8, the barbecue, I mean, the grill and everything was washed and put in the, and then they washed the dishes. And so we're just, at 10 minutes to 8, we're just sitting around waiting to eat. I say, I ain't never done it like this before. Thank you, Cain. Hallelujah. It's crazy. Here in John chapter 3, starting at verse, what is it? 9. Jesus, Nicodemus had gone to Jesus at night and he said, hey, who are you? He goes, no one can do the things that you do unless God had sent you. He said, I don't get it, Jesus. I don't get it. And Jesus goes through and he tells him a few things. He said, he goes, in order to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You've got to be born in the spirit. The flesh is the flesh, but the spirit is something different. You have to be born again in the spirit so you can even see the things of the kingdom of God. Do you understand that, Nicodemus? Nicodemus, I don't get it. Born again. Do I have to go back into my mom's womb? Do I have to be reborn that way? He said, no. He said, that which is spirit, and that which is flesh. There's two being born. You're born in the flesh, and then you're born again in the spirit. The word of God comes into your heart, and you receive it, and you accept it, that Jesus Christ died on a cross for you, and was buried, and in 3 days he rose again from the dead, and you believe that. The word of God says you become born again because you believe that Jesus died for you. Amen? That's cool, man. So Nicodemus answers and says to him, how can these things be? How does this work? Nicodemus was expecting something different. Nicodemus was expecting that the Jews would rule the world. I don't know exactly what he was expecting, but he was not expecting to talk to Jesus and Jesus tell him the things he was telling him. You must be born again, Nicodemus. I don't get it. I don't understand it. So Nicodemus answered and says to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you a master of Israel and you know not these things? Verily, verily, whenever you see verily, verily, he's saying truly, truly, he's given a truth. He says, verily, verily, we speak things that we do know and testify that we have seen and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Verily, verily, I say to you, we speak what we know. Do you know how important it is for you to be speaking what you know? I do not preach on end time events because God never shows me things on end time events. He doesn't show me some of the things that where there are men of God that actually preach on end time events. God doesn't show me that. God has focused this ministry on building and strengthening the body of Christ, teaching things that people will hear and go check the word on their own. Can I tell you that? Do you know how important it is that you check the Bible on your own? Because I could be lying to you. Is that right? Anybody can lie to you. We see it on the news every night. And when you say amen to that, come on, somebody's lying here. Even though I don't know how to figure it out, but can I tell you, God can fish through all of that stuff. You can trust what God has to say. And when he teaches you something and he shows you something, you just speak it. I like what Jesus says here. We do speak what we know.
I was talking to my son the other day, and he was saying, you know, Dad, I've been noticing on Facebook that there's a lot of men of God right now that are kind of apologizing for prophesying something about the presidency, and now they're having to back up and back out. And he said, there's a lot of guys doing that, God. Dad, and what do you think about that? I said, I don't know what to think, but I know what the Word of God says. We speak what we know. Is that right? You are responsible for what you know in the thing. Jesus told Nicodemus, we speak what we know and you don't receive it. Sometimes I'll speak things and folks are saying, what? What did he say? That's when you go to your Bible and you go find out what he said. That's when you check what he said. Because God will say things to you and it might not be the same thing that you've heard in church all the time. He'll say it to you and you go, what? What is this? And then he'll show it to you. He'll begin to show in his word the thing that he has for you. And then you can go out confidently and say, hey, I speak this in Jesus' name. Can I say that I believe that a lot of brothers are making a mistake and going back on what they've said and retracting their statement? Can I say this to you? If you're a man of God or a woman of God and God gives you a word, don't retract it. You stand on what he's given you. He's given it to you for a reason. And it might not look like it's going to happen, but you stand out in any way because he gave it to you. It's not like man's word, is it? It's God's word to you. You stand on his word and don't back up. Ooh, the Bible says in Jeremiah that we need people that are valiant for the truth. The truth. You speak what God gives you to speak and don't add to it and subtract. Just give it to him. Say, that's what God told me to do. Praise God. Walk away. Hallelujah. So what if you don't see it? If his word spoke it to you, if he spoke it to you, and you know you've been serving God. You've been listening for him. You've been hearing his voice. You know his voice. And he gives you a word to speak and you speak it. And then all of a sudden, just because you don't see it happening, you think it's time to retract what he said. It's not that way. Not for a child of God. You see, the word of God says that the word goes out. And it causes things to happen. You stand on that word. If God spoke healing to you and your family, you stand on that word. You don't let it go. You don't turn it loose. If he said he's going to provide for you, you stand on that word. You hold to it and say, God, you said you're going to provide. I'm going to lay out my bills right here. There's my bills. You said you were going to provide. I had a brother say to me the other day, you don't tell God what to do. You know what the word of God says? God says this. He says, I will show you things to come, Henry. Command me. Command me. Have you seen that in Isaiah where he says, command me. What? Who do we think we are telling God what to do? Hey, he's not asking for that. He's saying, believe what I've told you. Take it and speak to me about it. It's like court. It's like a courtroom. God is saying, hey, what have you heard? What did I say to you? What did I tell you? You said, God, you will provide all my needs. Lay your bills out in front of them. You got a pain in your leg. You got something bothering you. How many of you know the first thing we do is say, oh, I wonder if this is arthritis. Come on. I wonder if I got an ulcer. Man. God says, by his stripes, you've been healed. Amen. Hold to it. Don't retract. Don't stand back. God likes it when you stand on. I mean, years ago, and I told you this, years ago, God told me, he said, Henry, I'm going to give you a house. I said, cool. I went and told Rosie, babe, guess what? God says he's going to give us a house. She goes, cool. 10 years later, something like that. I don't know. I didn't count all the days. 10 years later, I'm looking at my house, and it needs paint, and it needs the skirting around is damaged. And I'm looking. I said, God, I thought you were going to give me a house. And God said this to me, why should I give you more if you won't maintain what I've given you? Folks, can I tell you, when he gives you a word, you got to maintain it. You've got to hold to it. Rehearse it. Say, God, you said this. God, I know you said this. Hallelujah. We are not those who go backwards. When Jesus was in the garden, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said this. We testify of the things we have seen, and you don't receive our witness. He says, we and our. Who's he talking about? Who is he talking about when he says, we testify of our, because right after that, he says, you know what, can you bring that part up again in the scriptures? I want you to look at it. I want you to see this. Yeah, it's the one right before too. It says, verily, verily, I say to you, we speak that we do know. He says, we. And then he says, you receive not our witness. And then he goes, if I have told you, now he starts talking in the singular. He talks in we. He says, we speak. Who's he talking about? Can I tell you who he's talking about? He's talking about the law and the prophets. They spoke what they knew. They spoke what they saw. They spoke it. And he says, you don't receive our witness. Tells Nicodemus that, who was a Pharisee, who was supposed to believe all the things of the law, all the things of the prophets. And Jesus is telling them, hey, man, we speak these things, but you don't receive them. When I tell you, you must be born again, just receive it. Believe it. We speak what we know. The law and the prophets. Jesus talked about the law and the prophets many times in the scriptures. Do you know that? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets, but I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, he said, do so even unto them as you would have them do unto you. For this is the law and the prophets. Jesus quoted the law and the prophets a lot of times. Matthew chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus says this, the law and the prophets prophesied until John. He was signifying a change, that there was a change happening. The law and the prophets prophesied until John, but now something different is going to happen. There's something called the baptism in the Holy Ghost. There's something called that the men and women of God, the children of God, would prophesy and would see dreams and would see visions. Hallelujah. Prophesied by the law and the prophets until John. Now it's a different, how many know it's a difference from the Old Testament to the New Testament, to the blood of Jesus that speaks even better things than that of the law. Come on, man. Hallelujah. And he says this. They asked him, which is the greatest command? Which is the greatest command? Jesus told them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, and all thy mind. That's the greatest command. And the second one is like it. It's that you love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says this, on these hang all the law and the prophets. You see, Jesus quoted the law. He constantly quoted the law and the prophets. And when he said, we do speak what we know, who's he talking about? He's talking about the law of the prophets and himself. That's who Elijah was. That's who Elijah, in that day when he was transfigured on that mountain, Elijah was a symbol of the prophets. Moses, the symbol of the law. And the scriptures say that they were talking to him. And if you read it in Luke, you're going to see that they were talking to him about his death. The prophets that prophesied it. Isn't that cool? It's crazy. But God was doing something for you and for me when he sent Jesus. Are you thankful? Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18 says this. Starting at verse 16, rejoice evermore. That's one verse. How many like that? Rejoice. Come on. Everybody get up and rejoice. Come on. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that. Rejoice. How long? Forever. Come on, man. You got something to rejoice about. Then he says this, in everything what? Oh, no, right after that it says pray without ceasing. Is that right? How do you pray without ceasing? Pray in the Spirit, bro. Allow the Spirit to pray. Pray in the Spirit. And then it says in verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ concerning you. This is his will concerning you. In everything give thanks. Yeah, well, I didn't have such a good year this year. The Word of God says, in everything give thanks. Well, I lost my job this year. In everything give thanks. See, the Word of God, God knows about what's going on in your life. And he says this anyway, rejoice, pray without ceasing, and give thanks. Can you stand up? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have done such a wonderful thing for your people, for the people that you have created, Father. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us in dying on the cross, for our sins, and giving us position with God. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes. If there's anybody in the house that's never given your heart to the Lord, I want to pray with you this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, say these words, and folks, you know what? Pray with me so that those that might not have ever accepted Christ in their life would say this. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. I believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so that I could have new life in you. You washed my sins away, and now I come to you. And I say to you, I believe that Jesus died for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Help me. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, the Word of God says that you are saved. He says that he that confesses with his mouth and believes in his heart that Jesus died and rose from the grave, you will be saved. You're saved. You're saved this morning. So if you got saved this morning, let somebody know on your way out, as you're going out, just shake somebody's hands. Hey, man, I gave my heart to the Lord this morning. I touched heaven this morning. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. If you would, let's just sing one last song, and then we'll go on out, okay? And you have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great Thanksgiving. Tell everybody you love them, even if they don't love you back. Have a great Thanksgiving. Tell all your in-laws, and, you know, like they say, the outlaws. Tell them all. Say, hey, man, we love you, man. We love you. Because on this hangs all the law and the prophets. I love you. Amen. Praise God. Sing this song real quick, and then we'll let you go. Sing loud. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.